Praise God, praise God. I want to turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I haven't preached this for ages. For ages. But the word of God is never old. You know? It's always powerful. And I feel I have an obligation to give to you what God gave to me. And I believe something fantastic is going to happen here tonight. You know? Something fantastic. This is the story of 2 Kings chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 14. I take the time to read this story so that we have the background. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Syria till you would have destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. Amen. Joash was a young king, the king of Israel, one of the bad kings. And one day something terrible happened. The Syrian army invaded Israel. And the young, inexperienced king knew he could match the military might of the Syrians. It was impossible. And he was trembling and he already saw himself in prison and dead. But then suddenly he remembered Elisha, the prophet, the man of God. And he knew there was only one hope for him, and that was to connect with the man of God at that crucial moment. So he went to him and he fluttered him. And he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." Elisha was well schooled by the Holy Spirit. And flatteries did not impress him. Flatteries, by the way, are always the build up to the final blow. That's what they say. And those flatteries did not impress Elisha one bit. He was a trembling king, the king of Israel, crying, tears, hot tears. And here comes the first point. What did Elisha say? When he saw the sobbing king, he didn't say to him, "Take your handkerchief. Blow your nose. Here are some tissues." He didn't care about it. He didn't care about it. But he said, "Stop weeping and wailing. Take bow and arrow." take bow and arrow. I tell you what, I am not here to cotton wool Christians. I'm not going to pack Christians into styrofoam to make things easier for them. There are people that stumble over the same stones year after year. The same stones. And if you stumble over the same problems again and again, you must know one thing. You are walking in a circle. You meet the same problems again and again and again. Israel was walking in circles in the desert, facing the same problems again and again and again. I've got good news for you. The compass of the Word of God will break you out of that circle. Our God does not lead circularly. He leads linearly. Not in circles, but straight. I've been studying the river of God in Ezekiel 47, and I realized one thing. A river that flows in a circle becomes a swamp. And so many churches that just revolve around themselves have become swamps. But that river in Ezekiel was on its way to the Dead Sea. And that living water became the medicine for the fish and the water in the Dead Sea. We need to go straight and forward. Canada shall be saved. Not just Toronto. America shall be saved. We are not having a pity party here and see who has got the best words to complain that God hasn't done things he has promised. There is no comfort in unbelief. Do you hear me? There is no comfort in unbelief. I would go one step further and I would say, unbelief is judgment. Unbelief is judgment. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. Remember? They came back. 10 of them gave a very factual report. Scientifically factual. The walls reach into heaven. We felt like grasshoppers. These were all facts coming from here. Facts. Their sin, what was their sin? Their sin was that they did not speak about their possibilities in God. Unbelief is judgment. When Joshua's turn came to send spies into the promised land, he only sent 2 because he knew Moses had sent 10 too much. Hallelujah! Don't take those clever unbelievers. Look for people who believe in our possibilities of faith in God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God does not anoint honest doubts. In Germany, people like to talk about, say, honest doubts. Honest doubts. Yes. But I have honest doubts, you know. What? Honest doubts? What construction is that? The newspaper, one of the big tabloids in Germany there, the biggest one, Bild Zeitung, came to interview me. And the lady said to me, a man of faith like you, do you sometimes have doubts? I said, yes, I do. She said, what? I would not have expected such a reply. You say you have doubts? Yes, I said, you know, but I doubt my doubts. And you know why? I don't know why we always have to doubt the truth. Why can't we doubt the lies of the devil? And I've made up my mind, I am going to believe the word of God at face value. At face value. And I doubt everything the devil tells me. We shall possess the land. In Jesus' name, there are untold possibilities of faith in God. In God. Hallelujah. Stop finding excuses. Stop fiddling around. Take bow and arrow. I often feel that in many churches, there is too much fiddling around with things that are not most important to God. Jesus was and is and remains first and foremost a savior of the lost. Take bow and arrow. It was a military situation. Crying tears wouldn't help. You need a bow and you need an arrow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What is our situation? This is not a doubters club. We believe the word of God. We believe the word of God. In Germany, we say, when people always come with their brains first, they say, you are like a goat, head first. No. Lord, I believe. I believe with all that is within me that your word is true and that you will fulfill it. In my own life and through my own ministry. Amen. Not head first. We believe God. We believe God. Why can God use some and not others? That question is always asked. I have heard it many, many times. Reinhard, why can God use you and why can't God use me? I don't like to answer that question because I could offend someone. But suddenly it struck me. My mind works in pictures. I said, oh, that's quite simple. If you have got two stoves, one is hot and one is cold, and you want to make yourself a cup of coffee, which one of the two would you use? The hot one. You, because you want hot coffee. Now you know why God can use some and not others. and those who pray that God may use them, I say to you, get the fire of the Holy Spirit into your bones in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's a song that is sung so often, and I don't like it at all. I haven't heard it here, thank God. Please, Lord, use me and don't refuse me. Don't pray that the Lord may use you. Pray the other way around. Say, Lord, make me usable. And the moment we are usable, He uses us automatically. You don't even need to ask. In Jesus' name, He loves to use you. The moment we are usable, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are not here to catch doubt. We are here to catch fire. Fire! Inside, outside. Fire, spirit, soul, and body. Hey. I came from Africa home to a minister's conference. I was in Germany too. I was still a young missionary at that time. I sat for 2 days in that pastor's conference. 2 days. 2 days. And all I heard was unbelief. All I heard was unbelief. I stayed there in the basement somewhere in a private home. I was sleeping. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I had a nightmare. It was as if a python, snake, constrictor snake had wound itself around me. I jumped out of bed and I said, never again in my whole life will I have anything to do with a python of unbelief. I will trust God if I understand it or not, but I will trust Him. Take bow and arrow. Don't leave it to others. God is calling you. God is calling you. Where are our weapons? The armor of God. We of course know Ephesians 6 verse 17. There it speaks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To my understanding, this is the only attack weapon that we have. All others are for defense. This one is for attack. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is it? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Take bow and arrow. Take the sword of the Spirit. And you will be more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Come on, King Joash. Stop trembling. Stop weeping. Take bow and arrows. He was trembling like this, shaking. You know, we are not called to tremble. This is the devil's job. Don't do the devil's job. Devils tremble. But we are standing firm on the Word of God and His promises. Don't do the devil's job. Let him tremble. And we have power over him. absolute power over him. Are you happy?
Yes.
Devils tremble. James 2 verse 19. And faith? Faith is our all-purpose weapon. It's our all-purpose weapon. Actually, it's our distinction. Nothing else distinguishes us. Look at Hebrews 11. There are so many wonderful people, but they have big mistakes in their lives. Yet, they are heroes of faith because of their faith. Their faith. It's faith that distinguished them, and it's faith that distinguishes us now. Nothing but faith and trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. The Lord taught me there in Africa that faith frightens Satan. Did you know that? Faith frightens Satan. I had a tent crusade. And the tent master, before I arrived, said to me, I can't pitch that big tent because the sand is, the soil is sandy, and the stakes won't hold when it rains and when a storm should come. Shall I pitch the tent? Yes or no? I stood there with my phone in my hand and I said, I can't wait any longer. We've got to preach the gospel. And I said to him, in the name of Jesus, it will not rain and it will not storm. In the name of Jesus, pitch the tent. I am responsible. He was not very happy, but sometimes I told him, if you can't trust Jesus, trust me, I will trust him. I will. Crusade started. Wow. The people came. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. One afternoon, I sit in my trailer. I kneel at my bedside. I look out of the window, and there I saw a storm approach. Pitch black clouds, like curly hair, pulled by a storm, coming right towards us. At that time, it was our 10,000-seater tent. And somehow I heard that little voice in my heart saying, here comes your catastrophe. The next moment, I heard another small voice. The Lord spoke to me. He said, go out and speak to the devil. I went out, I lifted my hand, and I said, devil, I want to speak to you. I said, Satan, if you destroy this tent of mine, I will trust God for a tent three times this size. Yes. And I looked. I couldn't believe my eyes. The storm split and never reached us. No wind, no rain. We had a fantastic crusade. When I was back in my trailer, I was very worried. I said, what if the devil misunderstood something? I need to talk to him one more time. I got out again. And I said, devil, I need to talk to you one more time. Although you withdrew wind and rain, doesn't mean that I have made an agreement with you, because the big tent comes anyway. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And that moment I heard the Holy Spirit say these words. Faith frightens Satan. Devils tremble in Jesus' name. Take bow and arrow and teach the devil a lesson. Amen. That distinguishes us. What distinguished the old saints distinguishes us today. It's our distinction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, we read the next thing. The king was trembling. His hands were shaking. And suddenly, Elijah was next to him. And he put his hands, verse 16, Elijah put his hands on the king's hands and said, open the window. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love that. Because those wonderful hands are here. Jesus is going to touch your trembling heart and your trembling hands. And that moment something fantastic happens. You will become completely still and quiet. And you will know God is with me. I am not going to lose this battle. I'm going to win it. We are winners. This touch makes us fearless. I would say it makes us ferociously fearless. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of Samson. When he was on his way, and then at the vineyards of Timnath, a young lion challenged him. I like that it says a young lion. It means it must have had all its teeth. A young lion challenged him. He was thinking of his girlfriend. He was on his way to her. And here comes now that death trap, that lion. I think Samson must have been shocked. And the lion knew exactly what was about to happen. Every time such a situation occurred, the human being would turn and would run. And then it was easy to catch him from behind. But suddenly, that ferocious beast saw itself confronted by a ferocious man. Because the verse says there, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And instead of going backwards, he went forwards. Hallelujah. A man and a woman of faith have no reverse gear. We only move forward in the name of Jesus. And he rent the lion as you would rent young goat. Hallelujah. This is awesome. This is absolutely awesome. And then the prophet said to the young king, open the window. Position yourself. Clear the decks. Action is about to follow. Open the window. Shoot. I like that so much. I like shooting. I mean, I don't mean with an earthly gun, but oh, the arrows of salvation, the arrows of deliverance. We are going to shoot in Jesus' name as we preach the gospel. We shoot. But what touches me here is we must position ourselves. And this is what I very much would like to emphasize here tonight. Position yourself. People said to me, Reinhard, it's amazing that you were always just at the right places where God intended to do some great thing. I thought about it a lot and I said, no, that was not by chance. I heard already the Holy Spirit speak ahead of time and told me to position myself. That's why we went to Africa. That's why we went back to Germany. That's why we just went and then positioned ourselves. And when God needed a man right there, I was already there. I tell you something that happened to me. I was in Togo. Togo is a West African country. And I arrived that day. We had the first meeting in Lomé. I was the capital city of, is the capital city of Togo. And the first meeting, we had 200,000 people there. It's a small country. Togo is a small country. I was very blessed to see the hunger there. And the power of God was moving. The sick were healed. It was absolutely awesome. The cripples. Cripples left behind a mountain of crutches. I took a picture of it and I published it. I said, look what Jesus has done, this mountain of crutches. And sent it to Germany, and the German people, they said to some other missionary, is that true? Can that be that all these cripples were healed? He said, Reinhard knows you are far away. You don't know Africa. In Africa, he said, it's like this. When there is a big meeting and the people go home, many forget their crutches. I said, what? A cripple may forget his wife. A cripple may forget his children. But how is he going to forget his crutches? How is he getting home? I can tell you with authority, when cripples forget their crutches, you must know God has been doing something. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Don't tell me fairy tales. This is the truth. So, early in the morning, I was still sleeping. First of all, the meeting was very long. I just had come from Europe and I was tired. When my phone